Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by. Here we are. We're going to worship the Lord Jesus, and all around the world, we're all gathering together around the throne of grace to worship the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're going to be talking about our oneness in Christ, our oneness in Christ. And this is taken from John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer of Christ. And we'll get to that in a minute. But before we do that, I want to share some of the letters we get. And we just want to thank you so much for writing. And I hear from different people, they say, oh, we like to hear what others are doing and have their input, and then we can pray for them. So let me share just a few letters we get. Well, this first one is from Watertown, South Dakota. And this person writes, the sermon you had on Satan made me handle a lot of things I thought of since my husband passed away 16 years ago. I dwell a lot on things for too long. When you said Satan can get out and stay out, God is here, you made my life much better. I have had two bouts with cancer. Both times I had to talk with God to help me to get through this to the end. I could not have made it on my own. And so this is a lady that wrote in, and she said she wondered if Satan was in her heart because she was thinking about things and couldn't get over things. And so I wrote to her and told her, you just read 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, where God tells us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And what he's simply meaning is, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in our heart, and our body becomes his temple. And if the Holy Spirit is there, the devil can never, ever enter a Christian, ever. He can try to persuade us and influence us and all of that, but he cannot enter your heart and soul. 1 John 4, verse 4. Here's Salem, Oregon. My mother passed on to be with God this past January 17th. She is 100 years and 4 months old. She loved the Lord, and if we couldn't attend a regular church, we always watched you on television. You provide a great service to many people. We particularly liked your focus on the Bible. I'm sending this gift from Mom to help continue your services. She would be pleased to help with your important ministry. And so this is a wonderful little story about, here's a lady's 100 years old and can't get out to church anymore. And so that's what the Christian Worship Hour does. We go to the people that they can't get around anymore and can't get out. Or we get people that are isolated. And so, and just to everybody, really, but we just especially want to help people who are down and out. And we have something we send called the New Song. And that's a little Bible study. And it's free and postpaid. And I'll give the address at the close of the service, so you get your pencil and your paper ready. And it will tell you what we're preaching about. It'll have a special Bible study. It'll have the sermons that we're going to be preaching about. It'll have the text so you know where that is to be found. It has excerpts from other letters, and you will just love this new song. We really ought to charge for it. It's so good and so wonderful, but we're big-hearted, and so we don't charge anything. You just write and get it ready to go, and I'll give it to you in just a minute. Here's Sheridan, Wyoming, and I just really like this letter. Our mother was very ill towards the end and really enjoyed watching your program when she could no longer attend Sunday church services. Our dad also greatly enjoyed your program and often would watch it in bed right by her side. And so isn't that wonderful? Here's a couple have been together many, many years, and now they're coming to the end of life, and we can minister to them with a wonderful gospel. And it's always the Bible. It's always the Bible, because that's where we get our help. That's where we get the strength. Let me read one more letter, and this is from Federal Way, Washington. Your sermon on the subject of aging was inspiring to me as I am 95 years old this month. Now listen to this. I know my age is a gift from God. May He continue to bless your work. And you bet it is. A lot of times the people in America especially, they look down on old age. And they says, oh, get out of the way. Give him a watch and put him in a chair and let him go. And get him out of circulation. They're old. But listen, the old is a gift from God. Age is a gift from God. And He's giving here this lady 95 years. And again, He's given me 95 years. And why did He do that? So we could serve Him and honor Him. And we're not just here hanging around by chance. We're here because God put us here. So don't ever apologize for old age. Just brag about it. And that's one thing the young people don't have. They don't have old age, do they? So there. Well, we're going to look at this oneness in Christ today. And as I say, it's taken from John chapter 17, verses 9 to 13, if you want to follow along. And Jesus is calling here for oneness. He wants all of His people to be in Him. This is what He says. He's praying for those who are in Him, and those are in Him in the ages to come. He says, I pray not for the world. Now, Jesus didn't pray for the world. He did in other cases, but He didn't here because He's going to pray just for His people, just for those who are born again, just for those who are in Him. We know that because He says here, but Jesus differentiates between those in Him and those not in Him, for He says, for His own and not for the world. And so I think God has pointed this out very plainly in the Bible. For instance, in John chapter 3 and 12 and verses 12 and 13, He says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name, who were born of God, not by the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And by the way, that's John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. I think I said chapter 3, chapter 1. Now hear this, listen to what He's saying. Jesus is saying, as many as received Him, He gave power to become the children of God. So we are not the children of God until we receive Jesus. And I know there's a lot of people think that we're all the children of God because He created us. Well, He created the cattle in the field, and they're not His children. And the birds of the air and all of the rest of it. And so it is just those who are, the natural birth is a first time. We are not Christian. We're not saved except the little children. They all belong to the Lord because you remember when Jesus was here and they brought children to Him. And Jesus said, and forbid them not to come unto Me, for of such is the kingdom of God. And all the little children belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the babies that are taken and the little children taken, they belong to the Lord. And they're safe in God's kingdom. But when we come to the age of accountability, then the responsibility rests upon our shoulders. And we have to make a choice. And so in order to become children of God, as many, we have to be regenerated. And so Jesus says, as many as received Him. Now, to receive in Him simply means to open our heart to Him. For instance, your neighbor comes and rings on your doorbell, and you open the door and you say, come in. You're receiving your neighbor. And so we're told that Jesus stands at our door and knocks. Behold, I stand at your heart and knock. If any man hear My voice and open the door, I will come in. And so He wants to come in, but He'll never come in unless you invite Him in. And so that's receiving Him. We receive Him is to trust Him, and to take Him at His word. It is by faith accepting Jesus into our life, asking Him to take away our sin, make us His child, and promising Him to make Him the Lord of our life, and we'll serve Him and follow Him the best way we possibly can. And so it's just, well, you could put it this way. It's just saying amen to what God is saying. And that's what God says. If you just open your heart, you can come to Me and I'll receive you. To as many as received Him, He gave the authority to become the children of God. Now, the very next verse is Jesus says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now think of that for a minute. He's talking about how we can be born again, how we can have Jesus into our heart. When we ask Jesus into our heart, we're born again. But he says it is not of which we're born not of blood. That is, you're not going to be a Christian because of the bloodline. If your parents were the most wonderful Christians in the world, that doesn't mean that you're a Christian. You have to make that decision yourself. You can't. It's only as we put our faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how godly your parents were. You need to open your heart to Jesus. And you have to do that personally. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. The will of the flesh. That is, you cannot make yourself a Christian yourself. Of your own power, and you can't do it. It has to be God's Holy Spirit working. For instance, in Romans 9, verse 16, it says, it is not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. In other words, it's not what we do to make a Christian or a Christian. It's what God does, and God has to do it. See, only God by his Spirit can make a person into a Christian. And make him his child. That only has to be the power of God and the work of God. And for instance, here, say, as a young man, and he liked to be in the service, so he goes to a supply store and he buys a suit for the Navy. And he's walking around and he's got this suit on, and he's in the Navy. And they say, "Oh, you're so nice. You're in the Navy. That's wonderful." And he says, "Yeah." Well, and he says, "When did you enlist? When did you sign up?" "Oh, I didn't do that," he says. "I just went and bought the suit." See? Well, that's what we do today. We have people that think that they can just do some good works and then they'll look all right with God. And so they'll do some of the things. He'll say, maybe you ask 9 people out of 10, "Are you going to heaven?" And they'll say, "Oh, I hope so. I believe." "Well, what makes you think you'll get into heaven?" And then they'll tell you some good works that they did. But God tells us that we are not saved by good works. He says, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so we're never going to get to heaven by our works. It's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the power of God that brings it to pass. And it's not by the will of the flesh. There's only one way to become a Christian. That's to accept Jesus Christ. And then it goes on. It says, "Nor by the will of man," not by blood, not by flesh, "nor the will of man." That is, no man on earth can make you a Christian. There's some people think that pastors and priests, they can do certain rituals and make you a Christian. And so we come up, we have baptism and sacraments and confirmation, circumcision, whatever. But these can never save you, because Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again," in which we're born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. God alone transforms us and makes us into a child of God. As many as received him, only God can place us in Christ. And he gave us power to become the children of God because we're born again. And I just want to mention again, don't think that because you know that God created that you're a Christian. Because here it says, as many as received him, he gave power to become the children of God. You weren't a child of God till you received Jesus, see? When I was born an American, so I can't become an American. I already am. But when I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, only Christ can put us then. And so then we are one in Christ. Everybody all over the world, and it doesn't matter who you are or what you've been or what color your race or what sex you might be or whether you're rich or poor, has nothing to do with that. All over the world, those who receive Jesus. And we're urging you to do that right now. Maybe you've been there, maybe you've thought about it and you've never really thought about it too much. And now all of a sudden, while I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and the Holy Spirit is knocking at your heart's door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus says. I want to come into your life. I died on the cross for you. I paid for you with my own blood, and I'm asking to come into your heart. But he'll never open that door. You have to open that door. Holman Hunt has a picture of Christ knocking at heart's door. And when he showed it to a friend, the friend says, well, Hunt, you forgot something. There's no doorknob on the outside. You forgot that. And Hunt said, no, I didn't. There is no doorknob on the outside. Jesus can never open that door. He will never do it. He's given us free moral agents. We have free will, and we can open the door or we can shut it. It all depends on you. And I have a suspicion, I have a feeling that right now the Holy Spirit is knocking at your heart's door and he's wanting to come in. He wants to come in and he wants to cleanse you and he wants to make you clean and he wants to make you a child of God. He wants to give you a new nature, the Spirit of God's nature. And so you're a child of God. He wants to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But he cannot do it unless you open the door. And so here you are now, maybe right now. Now, I'm not saying you hear a voice or anything like that. I opened my heart to Jesus when I was 10 years old. That's 85 years ago, 10 years old. I didn't hear any voices and I didn't see any lights, but I just knew that I wanted Jesus and I wanted to get rid of my sins. I wanted him in my life. As a 10-year-old boy, I just prayed, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin, and I'll follow you. I'll serve you the best I can. I didn't have a lot of feelings or anything like that at all. It was just a transaction where by my faith, I placed it in Jesus, ask him into my heart. And I have a suspicion that a lot of people all over the world, that the Holy Spirit is dealing right now and he's knocking at your heart's door and you're feeling in your heart, you're thinking, I ought to open my heart to Jesus. Well, you have to do it. Your wife can't do it for you. The children can't do it for you. The parents can't do it for you. Your pastor can't do it for you. It's all in your court. And so you can be a child of God and go to heaven, or you can stay in your sins and go to hell. And the decision is yours, all yours. So pray, and I'll give you some scripture. I'm going to give you a place to write, and we'll send you some scripture to help you. If you made that prayer, just pray. So now Jesus prays for these people, these for all who accepted him, and he prays three things. He prays that they might be kept from the world. And then he prays that they might be sanctified. And then he prays that they will be united. So let's look at those very quickly now. He prays, first of all, that we will be kept from the world. Verse 15, I pray that thou shouldst take them out of the world, not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil one. Now, Jesus didn't pray that the people would be taken out of the world. He wanted them to stay in the world because he wants us to witness. He wants us to be, he wants us to carry on his business. You see, when Jesus came, he said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so then Jesus went to did his work on the cross for us and paid for our sins. He was buried and the third day was raised from the grave. And he's in heaven now. And so now he's saying, I want all of you who are my children, all of you who accept me, I want you to seek and to save that which was lost. You're my followers and I'm not there among there now. And so I want you to be my witness. I want you to stay in the world. I don't want you to go into a monastery. I don't want you to separate yourself from the world, but be among the people of the world like salt and light and tell them about Jesus. Among them, not of them. Among them, but living a different lifestyle. Among them, but shining as a light. Among them, but not as abrasive as abrasive to sin as salt is to corruption. And when we tell people you're on the wrong track, you're on the broad road that leads to hell, they don't like it, but they need to hear it. And we have to tell them in love that, oh my God, you need to turn to Jesus. And so he says, I pray that they're not that they'd be taken out of the world, but in the world they'll shine for me as lights. We all ought to do that. Tell others what Jesus has done for you. I know I have people say, well, I don't talk to people because I don't know what to say. And I'll tell you what you say. You just tell them what Jesus did for you. They can never argue out of that. You can tell them, I accepted Jesus, and I have peace in my heart that I never had before. And I had joy because I know that I belong to Jesus, and he holds me in his hand, and I will never be lost. I know I'm going to heaven. Now, I'm not just hoping and praying. I know it. And so you just share your faith with the people. Then the second thing he prayed for was that he said, sanctify them through thy truth, verse 17. Now, don't let the word sanctify scare you. It simply means set apart, to separate. That is, separate my people unto me, Jesus is saying. He's saying, let them live for me in my cause. He says, let them be mine alone. Let them be total separated unto me so that they seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ tells us that when we do that, he will help us and bless us. And so you say, oh, I want to be separated unto Jesus. But how can I be really separated to him? How can I be just set apart for him? How can I be totally surrendered to him? Well, Jesus answers that too. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, the Bible. He's telling us to study the Bible, to read the Bible, to saturate ourselves with the Bible, because that's the truth. And the more we know about Jesus and the more we read in the Bible, the stronger we get and the more dedicated we get and the closer we get to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, now I want you to be set apart. I want you to be separated. And you say, how do I do that? And you say, but Jesus says, read the Bible. Take the truth. Follow the truth. I'll tell you what to do. I'll show you what to do. And you know the beautiful thing? The wonderful Holy Spirit of God takes the truth and it applies it to our hearts. And that's why I love to preach. I love to preach for two reasons. The first reason I love to preach is because there's power in it and because the Word of God, it isn't what I say, it's what God says, and I'm telling you what God says. And that Word of God is as sharp as a sword, piercing to the heart and soul of the person, and it'll convict us of our sins and bring us to Christ. And the other reason that I love to preach is there's always hope. There isn't a single one of you that we're watching today or listening today on shortwave. There isn't a single one of you, I don't care what you've been. Maybe you're a member of the ISIS group. There you're not beyond redemption. You can come to Jesus Christ and be cleansed of your sins, turn from your evil ways, and walk with Jesus. This is happening. You know, in the world today, some people that are ISIS coming to know Jesus. Far off, there's hope. There's nobody beyond hope. Sometimes people write in and they say, I think I've committed the unpardonable sin and he'll never pardon me. But I'm going to tell you something about the unpardonable sin. You couldn't commit it if you wanted to, because it is a sin that could only be committed when Jesus was here in the flesh. So you can come. And the last thing Jesus prayed for, he prayed for their unity, that they might all be one. And he simply means by that we might be all over the world of one mind. And that one mind, that common denominator, the one thing that we all center around is Jesus Christ, Son of the living God and God himself. And you remember what Jesus says in John 14. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so when you come to Jesus, It is I've been in the church. I've been a pastor of churches for 66 years. I love the church, but the church can't save you. This Christian worship hour can't save you. Jesus says, I alone am the way of salvation. So you prayed for Jesus. Come to Jesus. Now, if you did that, you write to us. Any part of the world, doesn't matter. We'll send you literature. And it'll get you help to get you started in reading the Bible and again started in the Christian life. Yeah, I'm going to give you the address. You write to us. It's the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to send gifts on the internet, you can do it at christianworshiphour.com. And you can send it PayPal and we'll get that. We have to have your help if we want to continue this ministry. So you pray what God would have you do, and then you send it. And just remember this, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and that means they check our books, everything we receive and everything we spend. Now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for those that are turning to you right now. Bless them and get them started on the Christian life. And Lord, to those who are on beds of sickness and those who are suffering, and those, Lord, who we think about those who are in the countries where they're being persecuted, and we're thinking about those in India, especially today, and we just pray, Lord, that you'll comfort and strengthen those who are left behind. We may seem like you've deserted us, but you haven't, Lord. You said, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. So bless these people that suffer, our brothers and sisters suffering as martyrs for the Lord Jesus. For those on beds of sickness and those who are shut-ins and those who are lonely and those who may be going through deep waters, maybe they lost a loved one just now, maybe the children are having troubles, maybe the family's travel troubles, maybe some young people don't know what to do in life and which way to turn. Oh, God, you're the answer to every question, every problem. And so may multitudes put their faith in Jesus and then follow him, the good shepherd. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank you all for writing to us. And we'll put it on the screen there now. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. We'd love to hear from you. And you pray for us and we'll pray for you. And just remember, God loves you. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. We love you. That's why we're carrying on this ministry. And we just love your soul and we love you. And we're going to see you in heaven if you put your faith in Jesus. So God bless you and be with you and be close to you. And we'll be looking forward next weekend when we'll be back again. The Christian Worship Hour, back to worship.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.